After a nightmare vacation, how easy will it be to sue?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. And the 4,200 passengers who were stranded for days on a disabled cruise ship have finally disembarked. They went straight for the hot showers after days without air conditioning, working toilets, or adequate food. Now, Carnival has offered all of Triumph's passengers a full refund, plus a voucher for a future trip and $500. But for those who still want to sue, it won't be easy, as Marketplace's Chrissy Clark reports.
For haggard Triumph passengers thinking of lawyering up, Julian Bray, a cruise industry analyst, has advice.
If they care to take a look at their booking documents, the cruise line has actually got itself covered for just about everything.
I've got a copy here, 9 pages, single-spaced, down in Section 11. Carnival shall not be liable to the passengers for damages for emotional distress, mental suffering, anguish, or psychological injury of any kind under any circumstances, except when such damages were caused. Basically.
Even if it's an extreme situation of wading through the sewage, you can't sue just because you had a bad cruise experience, because you haven't sustained a physical injury or illness.
Jim Walker is a lawyer who specializes in cruise ship cases.
They call us cruise ship chasers.
Kind of like an ambulance chaser that can swim. But Walker says cruise ship contracts are so restrictive, the chase rarely pays off. Still, frustrated but not injured Carnival customers take heart. Imagine working on a disabled ship with thousands of angry passengers, where you're the one cleaning up all that sewage. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
The group of 20 major economies of the world are meeting in Moscow today, and the biggest item on the agenda is global monetary policy, with some countries complaining about a currency war. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us now with the details. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, what is a currency war exactly?
The idea is that it's a situation where countries follow policies that are intended to drive down the value of their currencies and thereby give their industries a competitive advantage in international markets. And the accusation that some are making at the moment is that it's quite specifically the unorthodox monetary policies being pursued, notably by the Federal Reserve, but also the Bank of Japan and the Bank of England, which are, if you like, flooding their economies with money, making it more difficult for others to compete.
But this is exactly what some of the top economic thinkers around the world have been telling these monetary policymakers to do for some time, to get the economies going, to drive up domestic demand, and to restart the global economy.
That's exactly right. I mean, the point here, I think, is that certainly if you ask the central bankers what they're doing, they will say they are driven fundamentally by a desire to stimulate their domestic economy, and the impact on the exchange rate is a kind of unintended consequence.
And I assume we shouldn't expect any kind of peace treaty for the currency wars coming out of this summit.
I think we'll probably get some kind of statement which will say that it's important to avoid competitive devaluations. But then I think everybody would go away and do pretty much the same kind of things they're doing anyway. And I think the reason that the likes of Ben Bernanke would give for justifying that is that they would say, well, look, we're not engaging in competitive devaluations. To the extent that it weakens our currency, it is an unintended side effect of what is fundamentally, they would say, about stimulating very weak domestic economic performance.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London. Thanks, Andrew.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
Well, one of the world's largest airplane makers, Airbus, says it will not use lithium-ion batteries in its new A350 planes. The batteries are at the center of an investigation that has grounded Boeing's new 787 Dreamliner. Airbus says it'll use nickel-cadmium batteries instead. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher on Wall Street this morning. The Dow up 11 points or 0.1% at 13,985. The NASDAQ up 0.1%, and same with the S&P 500. The Federal Reserve said this morning that production at U.S. factories declined last month after 2 months of gains. Industrial production fell by 0.4%, thanks in part to a 3.2% drop in output at auto factories. And this news just in from New York City, the city's $46 billion teachers' pension fund is pulling its money out of firearms manufacturers, becoming the largest public pension fund to do so following the Newtown tragedy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Economist Innovation Forum, where global executives will explore how technological change is redefining the speed of business. March 28th, Berkeley, California. Innovation.economist.com. By the University of Maryland Smith School of Business, committed to transforming careers. rhsmith.umd.edu. Rigorous, collaborative, engaged. And by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to control labor costs, minimize compliance risk, and improve workforce productivity. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
There is, give or take, $1 trillion of student loan debt out there, and a weak job market is making it even more difficult for graduates to pay it back. But what if borrowers were allowed to refinance those student loans? From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
The average interest on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage right now is just over 3.5%. For most outstanding federal student loans,
the vast majority of it is actually over 6.8%. So it's many times higher than most other loans that are out there right now.
That's Tobin Van Ostern with Campus Progress, a liberal policy group. It's launched a campaign urging the federal government to let student loan borrowers refinance at lower rates. Mark Kantrowitz with FinAid.org says there's a reason mortgages and car loans are cheaper: collateral. If you don't pay, the lender can take your car.
If you default on a federal education loan, they can't repossess your education.
Campus Progress says cutting interest rates to 5% would put about $14 billion in borrowers' pockets this year alone, money they'd pour back into the economy. The federal government, though, would lose billions in revenue. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, to a student in eastern Pennsylvania who was more than a little disappointed with one of her grades. She got a C+ in a course at Lehigh University after being given 0 out of 25 points for participation. So she sued, seeking a B and $1.3 million. The judge rejected the suit. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
ICUs, intensive care units, are busy places, lots to do.
Check the patient's weight, take their blood pressure, draw blood work.
Which leaves lots that isn't done with sometimes deadly results. I'm Kai Rizdal, building a better ICU, next time on Marketplace from APM. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.